morning. Welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. That portion of the Word of God that we shall read and consider this morning, the Holy Spirit has caused to be recorded in John chapter 6, verses 24 through 35, where we read as follows in Jesus' name. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give us that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who's given you bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The text that we consider today is the second in a series of four readings from John chapter 6. The chapter begins with Jesus feeding 5,000 men, not counting women and children, with only 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. The crowd loved that, naturally. The chapter ends with most of them leaving him. When Jesus healed their bodies and fed their bellies, they wanted him. When he offered them the bread of life from heaven, which gives eternal life, they no longer wanted him. The French have a saying, "The more things change, the more they remain the same." People have always treasured what is only temporary and despised what is eternal. The reading from John's Gospel for last Sunday's sermon ended with Jesus withdrawing himself to a mountain alone after the crowd wanted to force him to be their bread king. They found him the next day on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. They were hungry once more and knew that Jesus could feed them. The problem was that they had no idea why Jesus had fed them the day before. As the true and final prophet of God, Jesus performed miracles, as did the prophets of old. In Greek, these miracles are called signs. But any sign is useless if you don't know what it signifies. Jesus gave them food for their bodies as a sign to signify that he was their God, who came to give them another kind of food, which gives eternal life. But they weren't interested in any other kind of food. They were not interested in Jesus or in what he had to say. The sign was lost on them. It was as if today someone would be baptized because he needed a bath, or would go to communion because he liked to eat bread and drink wine. They missed the point of the sign. So Jesus told them the point. Don't work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. As he offers them something much greater than the sign, he adds that he has God the Father's seal of approval. He, Jesus, can give them what they need for eternal life. He not only can, he will. It's a clear and compelling offer, a gracious offer. He offers to give them eternal life. And that crowd thought just as today's crowd thinks. When Jesus mentions eternal life, clearly saying that he will give it to them, they immediately think of what they must do to get it. They ask, what must we do to do the works of God? As if there were anything they could do, as if somehow their doing something would induce God to give them something in return. Many people don't know if they're going to heaven or hell. When you talk to such people about it, they will often say what a good person they have been. This is the very nature of the sinner. He simply will not recognize that he cannot do a single thing to get eternal life. Jesus speaks gospel, and the unbeliever hears only law. Jesus then tells the crowd that it is God, not they, who does the work of God. It is God's work that they believe in him whom he has sent, namely, Jesus himself. After all, Jesus is the one who will give them eternal life. Instead of believing him, they demand another sign. They mention the manna that God gave through Moses. But they once again missed the point even of that ancient sign. Why did God rain manna from heaven for 40 years? It was to teach them that the same God who feeds the body, daily providing all we need, is the God who gives life from heaven. But the true bread from heaven was never the manna. It was always Christ. Jesus directs us from our physical needs to our spiritual needs so beautifully in these words, "It is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." This is one of the most compelling biblical illustrations of faith. Faith is eating and drinking. Four things come to mind about what this illustration tells us about our faith. First, there must be something to eat before you can eat it. Since faith is trust in God's promises, God must first give you those promises before you can have faith. Without God's promise, given to us in words spoken by God, there simply is no faith. Those who won't listen to God's promises don't have faith. They don't have anything to eat. Secondly, one can eat good food or bad food. If you eat bad food, you poison your body. If you trust in false promises, false teaching, you poison your soul. It matters what you believe about God. In fact, it is a matter of life and death. Thirdly, when you eat something, it becomes a part of you. You are what you eat. That's true biologically, and that is also true spiritually. The Word of God, the gospel of Christ, the promises that faith eats are what you are spiritually. God puts it in you, and it makes you what it is. Faith receives Christ. Luther pictures the Lord's Supper as a wolf eating a lamb and becoming a lamb. The sinner receives Christ and becomes a Christian. The Christ he has received by faith is the Christ who gave himself for his sins. He is the Christ who is life itself. Finally, eating does not contribute anything to the food to make it food. Faith does not win or earn or contribute something to eternal life. It simply receives it. A good steak fillet does not become a good steak fillet when I eat it, but I'll eat it if it's a good steak fillet and it's not too well done. But what are we hungry for? We all have our own notion of what the good life is, and it would certainly include such things as good food, clothes, housing, transportation, and so on. We sit down with our checkbook and try to figure out all the things we need and wonder sometimes how we'll manage to pay for it. We do the works our bodies require of us, and they often require more than we can do. Meanwhile, Jesus, the I Am, the God who is life in the flesh, offers his life to us. No cost, no price to pay. He has paid the price in full. But we're stuck. We're stuck with the demands of our bodies for food that will spoil, for a life that will end, for treasures that will decay. Do we stop and think that the reason the food spoils, the life ends, and the possessions break down is that all of us live in bodies and in a world that is under the curse of sin? And not just sin in the abstract, as if there is such a thing, but real, concrete sin that clings to us and spews out of us every time we have an impure thought or say an unkind word or set our affections on the creation rather than the Creator. And here is the I Am, the Eternal One, the Creator. I mean here, where His Word is proclaimed, where His sacraments are administered. Not up there, but He's the bread of life who came down from heaven and remains here. And He's not here to chide us or condemn us or drive us away. He's here to feed us with Himself. He's here to give us true life, whether we are rich or poor, regardless of what our bodies demand and keep demanding to keep them fed. He freely gives and keeps on giving to ensure that we will never be without life. That life that was given for us on the cross, that life which is given to us in the gospel and holy sacraments, that life that lasts forever. And the only life that lasts forever is the life He gives, because He is the bread of life. Amen. We thank you for being our guests today on Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast. Christ for Us is brought to you every week. We are sponsored by Trinity Lutheran Church in Sydney, Montana, St. John Lutheran Church in Fairview, Montana. We'd like to invite you to the services of our parish. We have church every Sunday morning at 8:30 at St. John Lutheran Church in Fairview, and we have divine service at 10 o'clock at Trinity Lutheran Church in Sydney. That service is going to change to 10:45 on September the 10th, the second Sunday in September. September the 10th, the services at Trinity will be at 10:45. It is our privilege to bring this broadcast to you every week, and we hope and pray that it is of great benefit to you. Please tune in next Sunday for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.